我们今天的经文是《使徒行传》的25章1到12节。
Today's message is on Book of Acts, chapter 25.
啊，我们今天的题目，我们今天的主题是政教关系。
The topic is the relationship between the government and religion.
当然，你看到这个题目的时候，你就知道这是一个比较大的题目，也是一个比较难讲的题目。
When you look at this topic, the title, you would realize that it is a hard topic to discuss.
说实话，我也不太愿意去碰这个题目。
As a matter of fact, I'm not willing to really touch this topic.
但是在这段经文当中，这个中心就是这个要讲的这个信心就是这个，所以我也没有办法。
But in this message, the focus is about the relationship between the government and the religion.
好，我们来看这段经文，是在《使徒行传》的25章1到12节。
Let's take a look at these verses, Book of Acts, chapter 25, verse 1 to verse 12.
我的 PPT 还没有上来啊。
The PPT is not
out yet. OK.好，我们先，那我们 PPT 没有上来，所以我们就用翻开你们的圣经。翻开你们的圣经，这是给我们一个机会，让我们再次来翻开我们的圣经，不要依靠 PPT。
Well, we don't have to rely on our PPT. Just please open your Bible.
使徒行传的25章1到12节。
Book of Acts, chapter 12 and chapter 25, 1 to 12.
好，邀请弟兄姐妹一起起立。
Let's stand up.
好，我们用起音的方式一起来读。我来读一节，弟兄姐妹来读一节。
Let's read in a responsive way. I'll read the odd verses, and brothers and sisters read the even verses.
二十五章第一节，腓斯都到了任，过了三天，就从凯撒利亚上耶路撒冷去。
Where the chief priest and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges.
又央告他，求他的请将保罗提到耶路撒冷来。他们要在路上埋伏杀害他。
Festus answered, "Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going to there soon."
又说，你们中间有权势的人与我一同下去。那人若有什么不是，就可以告他。
After spending 8 or 10 days with them, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him.
保罗来了，那些从耶路撒冷下来的犹太人周围站着，将许多重大的事控告他，都是不能证实的。
Then Paul made his defense. I've done nothing wrong against the law of Jews or against the temple or against the Caesar.
但腓斯都要讨犹太人的喜欢，就为保罗说：“你愿意上耶路撒冷去，在那里听我审断这事吗？”
Paul answered, "I'm not standing before Caesar's court.Therefore, I ought to be tried. I have not done anything wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well.
我若行了不义的事，犯了什么该死的罪，就是死，我也不辞。他们所告我的事，若都不实，就没有人可以把我交给他们。我要上告于凯撒。
After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar, you will go."
天父，这是你的话语。
Lord, this is your word.
我们将这段经文仰望交托在你的手中，愿你的圣灵与我们同在。
We lift up this passage to your hand. May your Holy Spirit be with us.
愿你的圣灵来帮助我们来理解在这段话语中你要给我们的信息。
May your Spirit help us to comprehend the message in this passage.
也愿你的圣灵来高抹孩子，来充满孩子，让孩子能够放胆地传讲你的话语。
Please anoint our speakers so they can proclaim your word boldly.
愿你的话语在孩子的口中毫无拦阻。
So he can speak your words fluently without any obstacles.
听我们这样的祷告，奉靠主耶稣基督的圣名。
Hear our prayer, pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Please be seated.
好，我们今天的题目是政教关系 ，Church and State.
So the title of this message is Church and State.
这是我们今天的大纲。今天的话，我会用中世纪，他们在讲道和解经的时候，他们会 用一个 model， 这个 model 叫 quadriga。
I'm going to use the model that has been that was used in the Middle Age called quadriga.
Quadriga 是什么意思呢？就是说在希腊的那个四匹马拉的战车。
It is the carriage carried by pulled by four horses.
所以是四匹马拉的。
Four horses.
所以在这里我们看到它的第一匹马是什么？第一匹马就是 Historia。
So the first horse is Historia.
就是这段经文它的字面意思是什么？
The meaning of this passage by those words.
那么第二匹马是叫做 Allegoria.
The second horse is Allegoria.
Allegoria 就是在这段经文当中它所传递的一个信息，一个真理，是我们要相信什么东西。
This is the truth and the message in this is what we ought to believe.
然后第三匹马叫 Tropologia.
The third horse is Tropologia.
Tropologia 就是说那么这段真理，那么这样的真理，我们有了这样的真理，我们有这样的，我们要相信这样的一个，一个 faith， 那么我们该在生活当中如何把它行出来
？So if we have this faith, how are we going to live out of this faith in our daily life？
那最后就是 anagogy。
The final horse is anagogy。
Anagogy 的意思是往上升的，逐渐往上升的意思。
Meaning as we stepping up。
所以就是我们的盼望，我们的望是什么
？So as we are ascending, what is our hope?
那么这四个方面，就是其实和我们当代的就 Westminster 的一个校长叫 Clowney。
So this outline, according to the president of Westminster Seminary, Clowney，
他也提到这个讲道的模式。讲道模式首先是，那么这个是这个故事。然后就是说这个故事当中所传递的真理是什么
When he talked about the outline of a sermon, he started with the story and then followed by what kind of faith can be delivered through this story.
然后第三个方面，这个真理在基督的身上如何完全的实现
The third one is how this faith or how the truth is fulfilled on the Lord Jesus Christ.
那最后就是在基督身上实现了，那对于我们如何应用到我们的生活当中？
The final one is as now it is fulfilled on Christ, then how we are going to live out of this faith in our life.
所以你会看到 Clowney 其实他和中世纪这个讲道模式是一样的。
So Clowney's model is very similar to the model we have in the Middle Age.
在中世纪的讲道模式，他把这个爱放在这个望的前面。
In this Middle Age model, love is before the hope.
那么在 Clowney 呢，是把这个爱放在望的后面，因为那个望就是基督在如何实现这个真理。
In Clowney's model, the hope is before the love. The hope means how the Jesus fulfilled that truth.
所以我们今天就我们就来看一下这段经文。
So let's take a look at this passage according to this model.
首先，我们来看这段经文讲什么。
First, let's look at what this passage is talk about.
我们在这里看到，在第一节提到菲斯都到了任，菲斯都是罗马的巡抚。
First, we knew that Festus has come to the province. He is the governor.
就相当于我们现在在中国的省长，或者是美国的州长。
So it's like a governor in the United States.
他是罗马叙利亚省的这个叙利亚省的省长。
So he was the governor of the province Syria in Roman Empire.
我们知道之前菲斯都之前是那叫菲利斯，对吧？
We know that the one before Festus was a Phoenix.
所以当保罗被带到菲利斯面前的时候，在菲利斯的下面受审的时候
，So when Paul was brought in front of Phoenix and accused in front of Phoenix.
那么从耶路撒冷上来的这个祭司，这犹太人，他们控告保罗，说保罗在普天下如瘟疫一般扰乱众人。
So those high priests and Jews from Jerusalem, they accused Paul as the plague, as the creator of the dissension among all the Jews.
他们说他把我们的圣殿也污秽了。
And they also accused Paul defying the holy temple.
那保罗在这里说，保罗就分辨说，我在耶路撒冷不过是十二天，在这十二天当中，他们没有看见我，或在会堂里，或在城里和众人辩论，他们没有看见我去耸动众人。
And Paul defends, say, because you have ascertained that there's no more than 12 days since I went up Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in a temple disputing with anyone nor inciting the crowd, neither in the synagogues or in the city.
他们所告我的事的情都是不能证实的。
So nor can they prove the things of they now accuse me.
但是这之前的这个省长菲利斯以为他想要从保罗那里 就是收一些贿赂。
But that previous former governor Phoenix, because he wanted to receive some bribe from Paul,
但是保罗不给他。
But really Paul didn't give him.
所以他就把保罗关了两年。
So he attended Paul for 2 years.
那么两年之后，菲利斯卸任，然后接替他的叫菲斯都，菲斯都上任。
So after 2 years, Felix left, and the Festus took his position.
罗马的巡抚都是罗马的省长，都是住在凯撒利亚这个城市里面。
So all the Roman governors in the prince of Syria that live in the city of Caesarea.
所以腓斯都就从凯撒利亚上到耶路撒冷去，然后在耶路撒冷这些祭司长、犹太人过了两年，他们还在惦记着保罗这个事情。
So as Festus visited Jerusalem, all those high priests and the Jews, they still remember the case against Paul after 2 years. You can see how zealous they were.
所以他们在这个腓斯都面前就求腓斯都说，这个保罗怎么怎么样，然后说你要把他带到耶路撒冷来受刑。
So they accused Paul in front of Festus and asked, request him to bring Paul down to Jerusalem for judge.
那菲斯都说，我自己快要回到该撒利亚，你们如果中间有人，你们如果想告他，可以和我一同上去。
So Festus says, I'm going back to Caesarea, so if anyone wants to accuse Paul, you can just come with me to Caesarea.
所以他们到了该撒利亚。 到了该撒利亚，那个犹太人站着，他们控告保罗，但是都没有办法来证实。
So those Jews, they follow Festus to Caesarea and accused Paul, but with no proof.
我们在第八节看到，保罗在这里说是，无论是犹太人的律法，或是圣殿，因为犹太人他控告保罗，就是说他干犯，他践踏我们的律法，践踏我们的圣殿，践踏我们的百姓。
Cost of the accusation is that Paul defined their temple and define the people and define the law.
但是保罗在这里说，无论是犹太人的律法还是圣殿，我都没有干犯，而且是凯撒，我也没有去干犯。
So Paul here defended himself, said, neither against the law of Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, I have offended in anything at all.
但是这些新上任的省长菲斯都，因为他要讨犹太人的喜欢，所以他就问保罗说，你愿意到耶路撒冷去吗？
But Festus, because he wanted to do the Jews a favor, so asked Paul, do you want to go to Jerusalem?
我知道，如果保罗到了耶路撒冷的话，他肯定就是没戏了，对不对？
We know that if Paul went down to Jerusalem, he will get killed.
所以保罗在这里面就说了这句话，
So what Paul says here,
他说，我站在该撒的台前，
I stand at Caesar's judgment seat,
这是我应当受审的地方，
where I ought to be judged.
他说：“我向犹太人没有行过不义的事情，这是你明明知道的，你明明知道的。”To
the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know.
我如果行过什么不义的事情，我愿意受这个惩罚。For
if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object of dying.
就是死也是不死。I
do not object of dying.
但是他们所告我的事情都不是事实，所以没有人就可以把我交给他们。
But if there's nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them.
我要上告凯撒。
I appeal to Caesar.
所以保罗在我们今天主要的重点就是保罗所讲的这段话。
So our today's focus is about what Paul say here.
那保罗在这段话当中，我们也可以看到，首先保罗在这里他说，我是站在凯撒的堂前。
First, Paul said, I'm standing in front of the judgment seat of Caesar.
所以我站在凯撒的堂前，我应该按照罗马的法律来受审，对不对？
I ought to be judged according to Romans law.
如果按照罗马的法律来说，我犯了什么罪， 我做了什么不义的事情，我愿意来受死。
If I offend anything according to Romans law, I'm willing to face the accusation and even death.
那我们就想起到那个千夫长，叫格劳丢吕西亚，他写信给巡抚菲利斯的时候，他说这个人我查不出来他有什么问题，他只是他们中间的一些关于他们律法、他们的一些宗教上的一些争论。
It reminds us the letter the centurion sent to Claudius saying, "I didn't find anything wrong with this man. What they argue or accuse of him is something about their laws, about their faith."
所以他并没有干犯我们罗马的律法。按照罗马的律法来讲，他没有什么地方是要受死的，也没有什么地方是要被逮捕的。
According to Romans' rule, there's nothing against him to be arrested or even put to death.
所以保罗在这里说，如果按照如果站在凯撒的台前，如果按照罗马的律法来说，我有什么不义，我愿意来承担这个责任。
So here Paul said, if I have done anything wrong in front of Caesar's judgment seat, I am willing to face the punishment.
但是我现在站在凯撒的堂前，你们按照罗马律法没有办法来找出我的问题，所以你们就不能够把我交给他们。
But in front of Caesar's judgment seat, you couldn't find anything accusation with proof, so you cannot give me to them.
所以你现在不按照这公义来办事，我作为一个罗马的公民，我要上告给凯撒。
So now you cannot, you couldn't do anything righteous according to Roman's law. So as a Roman citizen, I appear to Caesar.
所以我们在这里看到保罗。他的心里面的话，他的心里面有一个重要的原则。
So we can see there's an important principle in Paul's heart.
就是说，第一个方面，我们在这里看到他尊重罗马政府当时对犹太人的这样的一个统治。
In his mind, first of all, he respects the sovereignty of the Roman Empire over Jews.
所以，有当时叙利亚整个这个叙利亚，包括叙利亚、撒玛利亚，然后包括耶路撒冷、犹大全地，都是叙利亚省，是罗马的行政省。
At that time, Judea, Caesarea, and Samaritan, all Judea, they are belonging to the prince of Syria. It's just a part of Roman Empire.
所以，他尊重罗马的这个权柄。
So Paul respected Rome, the sovereignty of Roman Empire.
我就想起保罗在这个事之前，他在罗马书里面的第十三章写道，他说在上有权柄的人人当说服他。
So that reminds me what Paul in the wrote in the book of Romans, saying that let every soul to be subject to the governing authorities.
他说没有权柄不是出于神的。说 凡掌权的都是神所命的。
For there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God.
而且在第二节他说了一句很严厉的话，他说凡所以抗拒掌权的，就是抗拒神的命。
So in the second verse, he put together a very harsh word. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God.
然后在第四节他说，凡是做官的是神的用人。
In the verse 4, he said, for all the officials are God's minister.
所以他佩剑也不是白白的去佩剑，也不是空空的佩剑。
The sword they wear are not in vain.
所以他是神的用人。
They are the minister of God.
所以我们在这里看到，在保罗的思想里面，这个掌权的政府的权力是神赐予的。
So we can see that in Paul's mind,He believed that the authority of the government is given by the God.
政府的权柄是神给的。
The authority of the government is given by the God.
那保罗为什么会有这样的思想？
Why he have this kind of idea in his mind?
那有可能是保罗在当时整个大希腊化文化影响的情况下，所以他有这样的一个思想。
Probably he come up with this kind of idea because of the influence of Hellenic culture.
我们知道当时罗马政府它是罗马帝国它对统治的所有疆域之内它对那个宗教还是相对来说比较开明的。
We know that Roman Empire was quite tolerant to all the area that included in the Roman Empire.
所以它允许你不同的民族你信仰你原来的宗教。
So every nation can believe in their own religion.
所以在这样的一个大希腊化的背景下面，保罗从小在这样的背景下面长大，他可能会有受这样的影响。
Since Paul was raised under this pan-Greek culture, probably he is influenced by this culture.
那我想另外一个方面是以为耶稣基督自己的教导。
Probably another aspect is our Lord Jesus Christ's own teach.
在马太福音的二十二章、马可福音的十二章、路加福音的二十章都记载了这样的一件事情。
In the book of Matthew, book of Luke, and the book of Mark, there's one. They all recorded one.
就当时的法利赛人，他们要来试探耶稣，所以他们要试探耶稣，他们就为耶稣说：“我们交税给凯撒，应不应当？”
At that time, Pharisees they wanted to test Christ, and they asked him, "Is it right to pay tax to Caesar?"
因为他们给耶稣设了一个陷阱。耶稣怎么回答都不好。
They put a trap there, so whatever Jesus answered, they can accuse him.
因为耶稣如果回答是的话，他们就说你是卖国贼。
If Jesus say yes, they will accuse him as a traitor.
如果他耶稣回答不是的话，他们就可以来控告耶稣，说耶稣违反罗马的法律来煽动人来造反。
But if Jesus say no, they're going to accuse Jesus as a rebel of Roman Empire.
所以耶稣就让他们拿一个罗马的硬币来。
So Jesus asked them to bring a Roman coin.
然后说这上面是谁的像
？Ask him whose image is on this coin.
然后他们说这是凯撒的像。
They say Caesar's.
所以耶稣说了这样一句话，他说凯撒的物当归给凯撒，但神的物当归给神。
And Jesus told them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.
我相信保罗也听过这个故事。
I'm pretty sure that Paul heard about this story.
所以保罗也受这样的影响。
So Paul was influenced by his teaching.
所以当保罗站在这个菲斯都面前的时候，他说：“我站在凯撒的堂前，应该按照罗马的法律来受审。”
So Paul, as he stand in front of Festus, he said, "I'm sitting in front of the judgment of Caesar. Therefore, I should be judged according to Roman's law."
所以我们在这里看到在保罗的心里那个原则就是说这个政府的权力和宗教这个方面应该有个分离，对不对？
So in Paul's mind we are clearly see that there should be a separation between the state and the religion.
那么就关于犹太人，我们自己犹太人，我们自己的律法，我们自己的这样敬拜 worship， 这是我们内部的宗教上面的一个争论。
The argument about worship, about our law, is just an inner dispute under the Jewish culture.
那至于我要不要被抓，我要不要受死，这是罗马律法所规定的事情。
But my arrest or death should be judged according Roman's law.
所以这就是我们今天讲的那个政教分离的原则。
So that's what we are going to talk about, the separate of the state and the religion.
然后到到二十世纪初，十九世纪末，二十世纪初的时候，有一个荷兰有个著名的神学家叫 Abraham Kuyper。
At the end of the 19th century and in the beginning of 20th century, there's a famous philosopher called Abraham Kuyper。Kuyper。
对，他是荷兰的首相，但是也是一个神学家，也是教育家。荷兰的那个自由大学就是他创建。
He was a prime minister of Holland and also an educator and a theology, great theology. He established the university in Lisbon.
所以他就发展了这样的一个观念，他发展就提出了一个概念叫 sphere, sovereignty.
So he developed this idea about sphere sovereignty.
那么在这里他就是说在上帝是在这个整个社会里面设立了不同的 spheres, 不同的领域。
He said that God established different spheres, different area in the community.
那么这个 sphere 他画了很多，但我们在这里看到有教会。
He drew a lot of spheres, but here we can see we have church,
有家庭
,we have family,
有经济
,we have economy,
有学校
,school,
有政府
and state.
所以在每一个领域当中，那么在每一个领域当中都有它的领域的权威。
In each of the sphere, something have the authority in this sphere.
那每个领域的权威都是上帝所设立的。
Their sovereignty is established by God.
比方说，在这个 state 这个领域，在政府这个领域，那么这个权威就是政府。
For example, in a sphere of state, the government has the authority.
那比方说，在这个家庭这个领域，那个权威就是父母。
In the family, the authority belongs to a parents.
那比方说，在这个学校这个领域，那它的权威不是政府，它的权威是这个教育的机构，教育的一个 association。
And in a school, the authority is not about the belong to the government, but the education association.
那比方说，我神学院神学教育就一个 association 叫 ATS.
So, for example, there's a education association about theology, is called ATS.
然后他在这他这个 sphere sovereignty 是这样说，就是说，没有任何一个。Faith institutions 就是比方说教会、mm-hmm. 或者是这个政府的权力没有他不应当寻求一个集权的控制
It says here neither faith institutions such as churches nor institution of civil justice such as state should seek totalitarian control
那么他是他们这个领域的权威但是他不能够干涉到别的领域
They have the authority in their own area, but they cannot interfere other area.
那比方说，比方说现在，那政府和学校这样的关系。
For example, the relationship between the state and the school.
那么我知道，在学校里面，它的权威是那个 education 这个 association.
So in school, the authority belongs to the education association.
所以政府不能够把他自己的信仰强加给学校。
The state cannot put his faith or put his judgment onto the school.
那在这个方面，美国做的还是不错的。
United States is doing okay in this aspect.
那当然比我们中国好。
Of course, better than in China.
但是美国也有问题。
But they still have some problems.
那比方说，在前一段时间，我们知道奥巴马政府出台的那个政策叫 bathroom bill， 对吧
？So we are long, we know not long ago, government of Obama has this bill called a bathroom bill.
他那个这个法令就是说，如果你的公立学校你不设立那个 transgender 的那个 bathroom 的话，我就不支持你。
So they said that if your school, public school, doesn't have transgender bathroom, then you are not going to receive fund from the government.
所以这样的话，你会看到政府把他自己所相信的东西强加给学校这个领域，对不对
？So you can see that in this case, government put what they believe upon to the school.
但是在这个 case 上又有点复杂性在这里。
But there's still some complication in this case.
因为他是为了避免歧视。
But because it is trying to avoid discrimination.
所以它不是一个很简单的例子。
So it is not a simple case.
那么。另外来说，比方说政府对学校的支持，我们知道在美国的话，我们每个人都会交那个 property tax。
On the other aspect, we know the support from the government to the school come from our property tax.
那 property tax 里面有大部分是学校的，是交给学校的。
A huge amount portion of the property tax are used to support schools.
但作为政府来说，你。作为政府来说，他如果是按照这样的理念的话，他应该是无论是 public school 还是 private school， 他都应该支持。
So according to this law, the government should support both public schools and private schools.
他不应该说就是说你不按照我的这个原则办事、信仰办事情，我就不支持你。
They cannot say we are not going to support you if you don't work according to my way.
所以你在这里会看到，即使在美国也有这样的一个不是很理想的地方。
So we can see there's still some problem even in the United States.
那么在家庭这方面，政府和家庭这方面也是，我们知道在2017年，加拿大叫这个安大略省就出了一个法令。
So there, let's give you another example about the relationship between state and family. In the 2017, the Prince of Ontario in Canada, they came up with this law.
那么这个法令讲什么？就是说，如果你的父母你不 promote
It says if your parents don't promote homosexuality,
那么你可能会丧失你对孩子的抚养权。
Probably you are going to deprived the your right to raise your children.
那么这个社会上的公立公这个公益的组织可能过来会把你的孩子拿走。
The public workers gonna take your kids away from your from you.
而且如果你收养孩子的话，你不在上面写你 promote， 你 promote 或者 endorse 这个同性恋的话，你没有办法，你就会失去这个收养机。
You are not going to have the adoption rights if you do not endorse or approve the homosexuality.
所以你在这里看到，可以看到政府的权利，它已经侵犯到家庭这个范围之内。
So you can see here the abusement of government or state right, it infers to the right in the family.
所以它已经侵犯到父母的权利，神所设立的在家庭里面那个权柄是父母。
It interferes the right of parents established by God.
那么同样在这个政府和信仰之间也有这样的问题。
So how about the church and the state?
我们知道在前在前一两年，就是我们知道在那个 Kentucky 的有叫 Rowan County， 它有个 state county clerk。
We heard that in the actually in the a couple of years ago there was a county clerk in the Kentucky, Rowan County.
那么这个 county clerk 的名字叫 Kimberly Davis.
So her name is Kimberly Davis.
那么就是有六对，可能我不应该说对，反正有六同性恋的，他们到这里来申请那个结婚的 certificate.
So six homosexual couples came to Kimberly to apply for the certificate of marriage.
因为 Kimberly 她是一个基督徒，所以
她
良心说我不能够 endorse 这个，我不能够让我的名字出现在这个 certificate 上。对，我不能让我的名字出现在这个 certificate 上。
I cannot have my name on this endorsement。
所以她就拒绝。
So she refused。
那么后来他们这六队就告她，然后告到法庭里面，然后法庭就下达这个法令，让他去签名。
So these six couples they sue her, and the court ruled that she had to put her sign the documents.
但是她仍然拒绝签名。
But she refused.
所以后来法庭就说她是蔑视法庭的法令。
So the court said she humiliated the court.
那么我在这里可以看到，她作为一个政府的职员，她在政府这个。政府这个机构来工作。
So we see here she as an employee of the government.
我们可以看到她之间的这样的一个张力在这里。一个方面，她作为政府的职员，她应该按照政府的这样的一个规定来工作。
We can see the tension there. As a government employee, she should have work according to government's law.
因为在这个方面，政府是权威，对不对？政府是权威。
Because the government has the authority in this case.
但是同时他又是个基督徒，他个人的良心上面他没有办法来引导这个事情。
But as a Christian, she couldn't in her conscience endorse this issue.
所以这个事情该怎么办？
So what can she do?
如果是我们在那个位置上面，我们该怎么办？
If we were in her shoes, what could we do?
那今天我们在美国的基督徒会面临这个问题。
So we Christians face this kind of problem in the United States nowadays.
那还有一个 case 是政府和商业之间的事情。
Another case is between the state and the business.
那我知道就是说在有一个叫 Masterpiece 的 cake shop.
There is a cake shop called Masterpiece Cake Shop.
那个这个老板叫 Jack Phillips.
The owner is Jack Phillips.
那么有一对就是说同性恋，他们在 Boston 结婚，然后想回到这个地方，然后想来庆祝他们的 celebration， 所以他们就去这 Masterpiece 来订一个 cake。
Homosexual couple after they get married in Boston, they went back to this city and they would like to celebrate, so they came to this cake shop to order a cake to celebrate.
Masterpiece 这样一个 cake 它有名是在于它的 creative， 它的创造性，它是按照客户这个要求来定制的。
The good thing about the Masterpiece cake it is is that they can make customize their cake according to customer's design.
所以当这一对同性恋他们来要求 Masterpiece 的 cake 按照他们的要求来定制， 但当然这个菲利普就拒绝了这个事情。
So when this couple come to the shop and ask them to make a cake according to their design, of course, Jack refused.
那菲利普就说我这店里面有做好的蛋糕，你可以拿一个，你也可以到别的店里面来买，但是我自己是个基督徒，我不能给你做这样的蛋糕。
He said that you can take whatever cake I have here and you can ask some other shops to make cake for you, but as to me, I'm a Christian, I could not do this for you.
所以他们就把菲利普斯告到他们州的法庭。
Of course, they sue Phillips.
那当然，他们的菲利普斯就被判失败，
败诉。So, Jack Phillips lost the lawsuit.
那菲利普斯最后告到最高法庭。
And Phillips sued to the superior court.
但现在什么结果还没有。
We still haven't got the result yet.
我们在这里也看到这样的一个张力在这里。作为一个他在商业上的一个 businessman， 他的声称我是可以按照顾客的要求来定制这个蛋糕。
So we still can see a tension here. Phillips, as a businessman, he should have make the cake according to a customer's request.
但另一个方面，他自己是个基督徒，他如果做这样的个蛋糕的话，他良心上又没有办法过得去。
On the other hand, as a Christian, he really cannot convince his conscience to do that.
所以在这里的话，我们就要思考这个。我们在这里看到政府、学校、政府、信仰、政府和商业、政府和家庭之间的这个关系。
So here we can see all the relationship between the state and church, state and family, state and business, etc.
所以这里不是一个简单的事情，不是那么容易去处理的。
So it is not an easy case to deal with.
但我们再回到。我们再回到这个事情的，这些事情的最根本的地方。
Let's come back to the fundamentals of the roots of these issues.
我们来思考一件事情，就是什么叫犯罪。
Let's think about one thing: what a crime is.
就什么叫犯罪？我们说的不是罪，什么是犯罪？是 crime.
So we are not talking about sins; we are talking about crime.
那么字典里是这么定义的，是 an unlawful act punishable by a state or other authority。
字典里说那些犯法的事情会被政府来惩罚。
那么我在这里看到，那么对作为一个政府来说，他怎么样定义什么事情是犯罪，什么事情不是犯罪呢
？So as a government, how can it define?Which is crime, which is not?
它的背后的标准是什么
？What's the standard?
我们知道它背后的标准，可它肯定有个好坏的标准，对不对
？There must be a standard of good and evil.
它肯定是什么是好的，什么是坏的
？What is good? What is evil?
那坏的才有可能被定义为犯罪。
So the evil ones or the bad ones can be condemned.
好的不能把它定义为犯罪。
You cannot condemn good deeds.
所以这背后的话，一个政府它定义犯罪的背后的话，它有一个普世价值在哪里？
So, when the government defines the crime, there must be a society value behind it.
那么这个普世价值是什么呢
？What is the value?
这普世价值我们来说就是我们的良心。
This is our conscience.
就是人的良心，人的良心知道什么是对的，什么是错的。
Our conscience can tell which is right and which is wrong.
但圣经上告诉我们说，这个良心是神的律法写在我们的心里面。
The Bible tells us that our conscience is God's law written in our hearts.
所以你在这里看到，你定义什么是犯罪，什么是不是犯罪，最终是要回到神的律法。
So you can see here that we have to come back to God's law to define what a crime is.
所以最终你要回到神的那个标准。
So we have to come back to the God's standard.
但是我们知道，良心的话，它可以被泯灭。圣经上说，良心可以像烙铁烫过一样。中国人有句话说，良心可以被狗吃了。
We know that the conscience can be quenched or be misused. The old Chinese saying that your conscience has been eaten by dog.
所以这样普世价值可以每个国家都不一样，每个国家都会有些差异，然后在不同的时代也有差异。
So the generous value or the society value can be different from countries to countries from this time to that time.
但我们要看到那个普世价值那个根源是在神的律法。
But we need to pay attention to what the root is of this value.
如果在不同的时代，在不同的国家，受到不同的文化的影响，
所以会有一些差异。
So we have different value because of the fact of different country, different era, and different culture.
因为不同的文化的影响，所以有些好的东西会变成坏的，有些坏的会变成好的，会是非颠倒，黑白颠倒。
So the because of the culture, some good things can be considered as bad things, versa, and sometimes black can be white and white can be black.
所以其但是你如果回到根源的话，所有的犯罪其实都是要回到神的那个标准。
So if we go back to the root, we know that all the crime has to come back to God's standard.
所以神说是好的，那他就不应该是犯罪。
If God says it is good, it shouldn't be a crime.
但如果神说的是不好的，神所恨恶的，才有可能被一个国家定义成犯罪。
Are those God condemned? God despised can be considered as crime in some countries.
所以我们看到定义什么是正当的法律，什么是不正当的法律，你最终是要回到那个圣经的价值体系的。
So as we look at if a law is a righteous law or unrighteous law, we have to go back to God's law.
但是很可惜的是，我们今天很多的时候，我们不是没有很多国家，我们定义这个法律的时候，没有回到圣经的价值体系，而是我们受了人的文化的影响。
Unfortunately, a lot of countries, as they define their law or establish their law, they didn't come back to the God's law, but just to people's law.
所以你会看到圣经上说不好的东西，然后现在会说是好的。
Sometimes, we can see that the bad things stated in the Bible becomes good things nowadays in the society.
现在圣经上说好的东西，然后圣经上说好的东西，然后这个法律说是不好的。
The good things defined in the Bible, but the some laws said that's not good.
比方说这个同性恋，圣经上说是不好的，神所恨恶的。
For example,
但是国家现在说它是合法的。
Bible made it very clear that God hates it, but a lot of countries they make it legal.
所以当一个国家它制定这样不正当的法律的时候，那么我们在作为这个国家的国民，我们应当如何去对待呢
？So how could we, as the citizen of a country, to deal with this unrighteous law?
那在这里，保罗在这圣经上给我们一个很好的例子。
Paul gives us a very good example here.
我们看到，无论是罗马的法律正当还是不正当，但保罗首先尊重神赋予罗马的权柄。
Here, Paul respects the sovereignty of the Roman Empire, no matter if their law is righteous or unrighteous.
所以，当保罗被抓的时候，然后大祭司吩咐人打他的时候，那保罗就说了一句话，他说：“你们为什么打我？”
When Paul was arrested, the high priest asked someone to hit him.He asked why he hit me.
那当时周围有一个人说他是大祭司，然后保罗马上就说我不知道他是大祭司，我应该尊重他。
Somebody told him that he is a highest priest, and they Paul said, "Oh, I didn't know he was the high priest. I should have show my respect to him."
所以你可以看到这个大祭司虽然他做的不对，但是保罗仍然尊重神给他的权柄。
This high priest, although he did something wrong, but Paul still respect his sovereignty.
所以对于正当的法律的话，我们应该选择顺服。
So we should choose to obey for those righteous law.
对于不正当或不公义的法律的话，首先我们应当尊重政府的权柄。
But to those unrighteous law, first of all, we have to respect the sovereignty of the government.
但是我们要在我们和我们要表达我们的抗议，表达我们的我们要发声，表达我们的抗议。
But we have to express our disagreement.
我们要告诉他这样的法律是不正当的。
We need to tell them this law is not right now.
是不公义的。
It's unrighteous.
但是如果他还是要按照这样的法律去执行的话。
But if the government continue to proceed this law,
那对我们来说，我们就要做好为义受逼迫。
Then we would be prepared to be persecuted because of righteousness.
耶稣在马太福音的五章说：“为义受逼迫的人有福了，因为天国是他们的。”
Jesus said in the book of Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, that those who are persecuted by because of righteousness are blessed because the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
人若因我辱骂你们、逼迫你们、捏造各样的坏话毁谤你们，你们就有福了。
You are blessed if people rebuke you, punish you because for the sake of me.
应当欢喜快乐，因为你们在天上的赏赐是大的。
You should rejoice because the reward in heaven is large.
所以我们再回到 Kimberly 这个 case。
So let's go back to the case of Kimberly and the case of Philip.
那对 Kimberly 来说，他虽然对他是因为这个法律的不正当，所以他在这个上面的话，他受到这个逼迫。
For Kimberly, because of this unrighteous law, she was persecuted.
所以按照他的良心，他坚持他的良心，那么我们，所以他仍然坚持他的良心去做，他是为义受逼迫的。
But she did this according to her conscience and according to God's law.
他是为他的信心而受逼迫。
She was persecuted because of her faith.
也是为他的主而受逼迫的
，because of her Lord。
那同样，菲利普斯也是这样。
The same case about Philip's。
那么在这上面，我们只能说这个法律是不正当的。
Only we can say that the law is unrighteous。
但是我们尊重政府的权柄，
but、
我们合法的抗议。
Government sovereignty, we express our disagreement legally。
我们也为义受逼迫。
Then we'll.Should be prepared to be persecuted because of righteousness.
那么所有这一切都是以为在这个世界上是一个不完美的世界。
So we know that because we are in imperfect world.
因为罪使这个世界不完美。
Because of the sin.
但我们感谢主，因为主耶稣基督的救赎，主耶稣基督要有一个重新的一个创造。
But thanks to the God, our Lord Jesus Christ will have a rebuilding or reconstruction.
所以这个不完美的世界将来会变得完美。
Our current imperfect world will be perfect.
将来会有一个完美的世界降临。
There will be a perfect world on earth.
那么在这个完美的世界的当中，这个我们不再会有这些不正当的法律。
In this perfect world, there's no more unrighteous law.
我们也不再因着我们的良心，不再因着我们的信心，不再因着我们的主的缘故受逼迫。
We no longerbe persecuted by because our faith, because our Lord.
所以在启示录的20章21章，他提到就是说，在将来那个要降临的世界当中，神与我们同在。
In the book of Revelation, chapter 21:22, it tells us that in the future new world, God is with us.
我们在那里要侍奉他，我们要来在那里敬拜他。
We will serve Him. We will worship Him there.
而且他就是我们的王。
He is our king.
所以在那里不再会有这不正当的法律，所有的法律都是从神那里直接而来。
There, all the law comes directly from Lord, so there's no righteous law there.
我们可以自由地按照我们的良心来敬拜他。
Because there's no unrighteous law there, so we can worship our God according to our conscience.
所以我们今天有这样的盼望，我们说愿主再来。
So we have such a hope, say, may Lord come soon.
愿神的荣耀彰显。
May God's glory be proclaimed.
天父，我们感谢赞美你。
Lord, we thank you and praise you.
主，我们感谢你借着这段话语，让我们再次思考主啊政府与政教之间的关系。
Lord, we thank you that through this passage, we look into the relationship between state and church.
主，也帮助我们的弟兄姐妹在。当代的美国社会，在当代的这样的一个环境下，我们知道我们该如何去守，
help us, help us to know what we should do in current society in the United States.
也帮助我们知道我们该如何持守我们的信仰。
Help us to uphold our faith.
主，我们感谢赞美你。
Lord, we thank you.
愿你来帮助我们在这世上。
May you help me, help us in this world.
存着信心，坚定不移地来走这条属天的道路。
To walk this heavenly path with your help, with your faith.
我们这样的祷告，奉靠主耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.